Again, a very happy Christmas to you all from me. Today's Christmas Day, and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And the fact that we've all taken time out of the busyness of the day, out of the cooking the food and visiting family and friends and opening presents and so on, to come and worship God shows us that there's far more to Christmas than just the presents and the food and the friends and family, even though they're all important things and they're all very pleasurable. But we're here this morning freely because we want to keep Christ at the centre of Christmas. We want to acknowledge his coming is the whole reason for the season. And we come with glad hearts because of what his birth means to us. We come to celebrate, we come to rejoice, we come to worship. And as I reflect on that very special birth, I think, you know, we all acknowledge that God's ways are very different to our ways. None of us, I'm sure, would have wanted our son to be born in a busy town during a census when there was no room at any of the inns, which would normally accommodate visitors. None of us would have wanted him to be born in a stable. Luke's told us, we've read it again, that there was no room, there were no guest rooms available, there was no room there. And none of us would have wanted our son to be placed in a manger for his first bed. We all want instinctively the best for our babies. And the birth of Jesus seems so very far from what we would call the best. You know, first of all, Joseph and Mary, first-time parents-to-be, had to travel 90 miles from Nazareth to the city of Joseph's ancestors. And that journey, even today in a car, takes over 2.5 hours. But then, you know, travelling on foot or even travelling with a donkey, it would have taken at least 4 days. And probably, with Mary in her heavily pregnant state, it would have taken quite a lot longer than that. And then when they arrived, you know, all they would have wanted to do was just register and rest. Probably the other way around, rest and then register. But it wasn't that simple. So many people had poured into Bethlehem, there was nowhere for them to stay. And I can imagine Mary feeling utterly exhausted at breaking point, and Joseph feeling out of his depth and frantic. You know, they must have found it hard enough to have coped with all the criticism and all the unbelief of people around them, you know, as they told their friends and their family about this miraculous message that the angel had brought them. And I'm quite sure that not everybody believed them. But, you know, at the very moment when birth was imminent, it must have seemed in some ways as though God had abandoned them. But the Bible says that it was no accidental timing. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5 says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." So it wasn't any accident that Jesus was born in that stable in Bethlehem at that particular time, even though we might have preferred a comfortable hotel at the very least. It was part of God's plan. And God's plan shows us that he's able to work sovereignly in the most awkward of circumstances, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can hinder his plans and his purposes. Years before, Isaiah had said in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God doesn't do things our way. Yeah, he doesn't even think the way that we think. And the birth of Jesus shows us that plainly. Even more plainly, his death shows us that God works things out in ways that seem plain foolish to us. Christ crucified is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But Paul says that Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so the sooner that we come to terms with the fact that God's ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, the better it will be for us. I don't know if any of you have seen the Peanuts cartoon, yeah, with Charlie Brown. Well, Linus, the little boy in that cartoon, has a blue comfort blanket that he carries around with him everywhere. It features in a lot of the cartoons. Clearly, it helps him to feel safe. And over the last few months, I've seen Esther have a comfort blanket, a security blanket, just like that, the quilt that she has at night in a cot. As soon as she wakes up in the morning and she gets up, she takes the quilt with her. Yeah, the quilt trails around the house with her, and if she had her way, it goes out with her as well. It goes everywhere with her. Obviously, it's not very practical because it's quite large, but, you know, she obviously finds some comfort from that. If, you know, you take it away from her and she's away from it from a little bit, when she sees it again, she pounces on it and giggles as if to say, ha ha, I found you again, I found you, everything's okay. You know, she clearly gets some comfort and reassurance from this blanket. And, you know, we can laugh at children for having their security blankets. In the cartoon, Lucy, the little girl, she's always trying to get Linus to get rid of the blanket. You're too old for that, she says. But all of us need comfort and security. All of us need that feeling of warmth which a blanket or a quilt can give us. You know, maybe that's why so many of us knit or crochet shawls and blankets, you know, for the babies when somebody is having a baby. But at Christmas, you know, we see that Jesus isn't in this comfortable Moses blanket basket or a cot wrapped, you know, in a nice shawl or knitted blanket. He's wrapped in cloths, and I'm glad of that because I imagine that otherwise, you know, it would have had hay in this feeding trough and it would have been tickly and not very nice. But it's not the most auspicious of starts to life for him. But God's love is like that security blanket for each one of us. So often we face situations that aren't comfortable to us at all. You know, when we face difficulties and trials and illness and hardship, we may feel like we've lost our comforting blanket, that blanket of God's love. We may feel that we're on our own, that God possibly, you know, is far away, that he has deserted us, because it's cold and it's unwelcoming in those situations. But Christmas reminds us that God's with us at all times and in all places. You know, where was God when Jesus was born in that stable with only the swaddling cloths to go around him? He was right there in the stable. Where was God when Jesus was hanging on a cross, giving up his life as a sin offering? He was right there in the middle of the sorrow and the suffering. And Christmas gives us that new name for God, Emmanuel, God with us. God's our security blanket. Isaiah says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." And we can rejoice today because God is with us. His blanket of love and the warmth of his presence can make all the difference to us, not just in a cold winter, but for each day of our earthly lives. Even when we feel that God's a long way away, the Bible says that he's near. He says that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And Christmas reminds us of God's nearness, that God took on human flesh, that he shared in our humanity so that we need never be alone again. So Christmas is a time, as we've been discovering through Advent, of hope and peace and joy and love. A time when we celebrate God's intervention in human history, when we marvel at the outworking of his plan of salvation. It's a time of wonder for us that God could come up with such a plan, that he could work out his miraculous plan of salvation through everything that we would shun: helplessness and lowliness and poverty and ridicule and shame. The hosts of angels that sang his glory were really the only outward sign of glory. Yeah? The rest of the Christmas story is very low key. It's not what we would expect at all. You know, shepherds come in, not the fanfare of a royal birth. But Christmas encourages us because it reminds us that God's always working things out. He's always there. And really, those two things are just what we need to take with us today. God's always working things out, and God is always there. No matter how great the darkness, how deep the pain, God is still on his throne, and he's still working all things together for good. He's still triumphing over evil, even when evil rears its ugly head again and again, God is always with us, always Emmanuel. He's always there with that big blanket of love and comfort and hope and joy and peace. And he wraps us in that blanket of his love and he sings to us. Zephaniah says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." I'm sure that Mary and Joseph sang lullabies, sang songs of love over the baby Jesus. I'm sure that the legacy of Christmas is that God now sings those songs over us. And so as we go today, let's wrap his blanket around us. Let's listen for those love songs that he sings to us, because he's with us. He's the mighty warrior who saves. He takes delight over us. He'll no longer rebuke us. He'll rejoice over us with singing. God is with us today and every day. God with us, mighty to save and mighty to reign.